The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What's ahead for America, Canada, and Britain? What is your future, my friends, really going to be like? Enormous changes are going to take place within about the next 10 to 15 years on the world scene. They will dramatically change your very life. I'm not exaggerating. You need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith discusses America and Britain beyond 2000. Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Worldwide gut-wrenching changes are destined to occur within the next several years. Most people will be amazed at what is going to happen. These changes will ultimately bring about the destruction of our nations unless we repent. For there truly is a great God, my friends, who controls the rise and fall of nations and empires. He is the God of creation. He is the God of the Bible. Notice what God Almighty says about who's in charge of world events. Think about what He says. Go get your Bible if you have one. Please don't just believe me. I don't ask you to believe me as a lot of people do. And just say, the Bible says, and sometimes the Bible does not say that at all. You go get your Bible and read what I'm saying in the pages of your own Bible. I want you to do that. Check up on me. Prove these things out of your Bible. They're real. Let's turn to the book of Daniel, which even Jesus quoted from, and certainly it's part of the inspired Word of God. The book of Daniel in your Old Testament, chapter 4 and verse 17. This decision, talking about the banishment of ancient Nebuchadnezzar, this decision is by decree of the watchers and the sentence of the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Yes, God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He will and sets over it the lowest of men. Sometimes God sets over us the lowest of men. Sometimes we get what we deserve, right? But God Almighty controls world events. He has the last say about world events, and His Word makes that very clear. And the world's going to understand that later on a lot better than they do now. Turn with me to Isaiah now, chapter 40. Isaiah, in your Old Testament, chapter 40 and verse 15 in the Word of God. Here's God speaking. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. All the nations of this world, they're like a drop in the bucket and are counted as a small dust on the balance. Look, He lifts up the isles, all the isles of the earth, as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts for a sufficient burnt offering. All nations before God are as nothing and are counted by Him as less than nothing and worthless. The whole world is going to finally understand how small we are compared to the great God who created Jupiter, Pluto, Alpha Centauri, the vast universe. Man has not conquered the universe. Sometimes man, one of the Russian space scientists has said, said that he conquered space or something like that. That's ridiculous. The world is kind of like a little, a little kind of a knob on the end of my finger here, and here's the whole universe for miles and billions of miles around, and we've gone out about this far from the tip of my finger compared to the universe. That's about all we've done. We haven't even started to commence to explore the universe that the great God created. And it's good for man to come back down to earth, so to speak, and realize how awesome that God is and how weak we are and how much we need the great God. He is in control. Let's turn now to Luke in your New Testament and see what Jesus Christ said about what lies ahead. Turn to Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 7. They were talking about the end of this age, and they asked Him, His disciples, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in My name, saying, I am He, I am the Christ, as he said in Matthew 24 and Matthew's account of it. They'll say that Jesus is the Christ. They'll talk about Jesus. They'll teach about him in Sunday school, but they won't do what he said. And Jesus often said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You call me Lord, you call me Master, but you will not obey me. You will not follow my word." And Jesus said things like that a number of times. So here we find they'll say Jesus is the Christ. The time is drawing near, a lot of people say. Therefore, don't go after them. They don't understand. But when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be terrified. These things must come to pass first, but the end is not yet. Then he said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. God is going to shake this earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And these events will begin to occur within the next 5 to 15 years of your life, probably. A lot of you are going to live to see these things. They can begin to occur even sooner than 5 years. I hope they will. But they're going to begin to occur within the lifetimes of most of you. And we need to understand we're near the end of 6,000 years of human recorded history, and the great God, the God of creation, is about to intervene before the seventh millennium, or at the beginning of the seventh millennium. Let's understand that. Going down to verse 22, Jesus said, "These are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." All things. In other words, this is the culmination of all of the major prophecies of the Bible. We're living at the time of the end. "But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land." He's not talking about some little church somewhere. He's talking about a land, a physical land, and wrath upon this people. I'm going to show you as we go along, and in a booklet that I'm going to show you about and tell you about, that this land refers not just to the little state of Israel in the Middle East, with only about 3.5 million Jewish people living there, one of the smallest countries on earth. It also refers to the lands of the United States and the British descended peoples of this earth. This is talking about us, America and Britain and Canada and New Zealand and Australia and South Africa at the time of the end. It really is. And we need to grasp that fact, and I hope that you will, with an open mind and an open heart. "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive." Our peoples, yes, our peoples, believe it or not, will be led away captive into all nations and Jerusalem. He's not just talking about Jerusalem here. He's talking about our peoples and Jerusalem. And the Jews over there, of course, will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Yes, Jerusalem is going to be taken over one more time. And the gathering of the Jewish people back to Israel in 1948 was not the final regathering of Israel. No way! That was just a little tiny precursor of the massive exodus, the massive regathering of God's people, the peoples of America and Britain and Canada and so on, as well as the Jewish people who've been taken captive all over at the time of the end, as we shall see. So let's notice this fact. This is going to happen, and Jerusalem is going to be trampled one more time. Then he says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars." When is all this going to happen? It's going to happen at our time, just ahead of us. This has not happened yet. It's going to happen just before Christ's coming. The heavenly signs occur, and on earth distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, these great terrifying signs that we talked about last time. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Yes, God is going to intervene. "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." They will look up and they will see a great blinding light, a light like the sun in full strength coming down on them, and the living Jesus Christ will come in glory and power and majesty with the holy angels, and the saints will be gathered to him all from all over the earth, and then they will come together over Jerusalem and descend to the Mount of Olives. It is going to be awesome, and it is going to happen. It's the news of tomorrow's world in advance, and we need to understand that. We also need to understand that we're descended ourselves from the people of Israel. We, the American and British descended peoples, are the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and many of these prophecies talking about the time of the end, and particularly about what's going to happen to the house of Israel, refer to us. At this point, I urge you to write or call today for our truly powerful brand new booklet. It's a new booklet. We just come out a few weeks ago. A brand new booklet entitled, What's Ahead for America and Britain? This booklet will give you absolute proof of our national origins and the specific prophecies of our future. Yet this truly, truly vital, it's an exciting booklet, will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. No obligation, no call. Call or write today, though. You call us, we won't call you. Call or write today. Request your free copy of What's Ahead for America and Britain. Even the phone call is free.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579, or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Now back to our topic. We've just seen in Luke 21 that Jesus Christ is talking about the time of the end, the time of false prophets, drought, disease epidemics, massive earthquakes, and finally, America, Britain, the Jewish people, taken into a national slavery when we understand. And we're going to be taken captive unless we repent as a nation and turn back to the true God, the God of the Bible, in a way we've never done before. Notice what God told our forefathers. Yes, our forefathers were the ancient Israelites. Let's notice what God told our forefathers way back in ancient Israel. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 4, which is not only a statement, but a prophecy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 25 here. He said, when you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Eternal your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you, he said, that you will utterly perish from the land. We have turned aside from God. We've turned totally away from the God of Abraham and God of creation, and we are going to perish in the land. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, your Bible says. You will not utterly prolong your days in it, but you'll be utterly destroyed. And the Eternal will scatter you. God says he will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Eternal, the great God, will drive you. And there, when we're in a national slavery, as these prophecies make very clear, there you will serve other gods, different gods of men, the work of men's hands, of wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. But from there, once we're in a national slavery, my friends, our people who are riding so high, our people who are kind of freaked out on drugs and liquor and watching make-believe, you know, just constant make-believe on television, and there are not many of them living very much in the real world, and it's getting more and more that way, they're going to be humbled. They're going to be brought down to earth. And he says, from there you will seek the Eternal, your God. Our people will finally begin to seek the true God. And you will find him. Yes, we will find God as a people. If, here's the biggest two-letter word in the English language when we understand it. If you will seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you individually begin to understand these things, and you begin, and I begin to seek God with all of our hearts, and with all of our soul, and begin to cry out to God, study this book, the Bible, really study it, and be willing to do what God says, we can be protected from this coming time. We really can. But otherwise, we will be in the second great punishment that's coming on Israel. The first captivity took place back in 721 when Shalmaneser of Assyria attacked and conquered our peoples, our forefathers. But God says over and over, as we'll see, and describes a second great national punishment. He describes it over and over throughout the book of Jeremiah. He describes it over and over throughout the book of Ezekiel, which were both written way over 100 years after that first punishment, and talk about a second punishment. That's right. So we can be protected from that if we learn to do this now, to seek God with all our heart and with all our soul. When you're in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days. In the latter days. That's when they're going to come on us, not way back when. And God speaks of the latter days again and again as referring to our time. So let's understand and understand that you and I need to seek the true God, the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, and let that Jesus Christ live in us through the Holy Spirit. And the same way he did live on this earth 1900 years ago. Not the way men talk about him, but the way he really did do. Living God's commandments, obeying God, walking God, serving God. You need to understand a lot about that. Turn with me now to an awesome prophecy in the book of Jeremiah. And again, Jesus talked about Jeremiah, the prophet, was recognized as one of the great prophecies of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30 and beginning in verse 4. Now, these are the words the ever-living one spoke concerning Israel and Judah. He didn't say Jew and Jew or Israel and Israel. Notice, he said Israel and Judah. He's talking here about two separate peoples. The Israelites rebelled against the Jews. The 10 tribes went away and say to your tents, O Judah, and they went off and turned aside. And there were two separate nations for hundreds of years, Israel fighting against the Jews and the Jews fighting against Israel. A lot of people don't understand that. There are two separate peoples here, and they will finally be reunited after Christ's coming. They're not reunited today. And so this is what's going to happen to the Jewish people. These are the words. We've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. He describes men bent over with absolute terror, and all faces turned pale. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, God says. A day so great that none is like it. Now, what does that sound like? I hope you Bible students out there recognize what that sounds like. It sounds like Matthew 24, verse 21, doesn't it? It's a time of terrible tribulation so great that none has ever been like it, no nor ever shall be. There can't be two or three times of trouble that great. There's only one. And here it is. It's a time so great that the time of the end that none is like it. And it is the time of whose trouble? China's trouble? Russia's trouble? Somebody else's trouble? No. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And that's who we are. The lost 10 tribes of Israel at the time of the end, at the end of this age, near 6,000 years of recorded human history, near the end of that time. Let's understand. Please try to understand and grasp the time you're living in, my friends. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. This terrible tribulation is going to come on us, I tell you, before God. It's not a happy message, but you need to understand, and you need to heed, and you need to act, each one of you out there. Please check up on us. I ask you to. I challenge you to. You can prove these things. But he shall be saved out of it. Yes, Israel will get into this terrible trouble, a 3.5-year tribulation of terrible suffering. And will seem like an eternity. But 3.5 years is not very long in human history. He'll be saved out of it, for it shall come to pass in that day. So this is not hundreds of years ago. Notice it's the time of the end that says the Eternal of Hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck, a yoke of slavery, and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. Yes, he's talking here about a national slavery on modern Israel, our people today. And they shall serve the Eternal their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Now, the book of Jeremiah was written about 585 B.C. King David of Israel died about 400 years before that, 400 years earlier. So what's this talking about? Well, obviously, he's talking about Christ coming. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. And King David will be resurrected right out of the grave and be up, that awesome personality, dealing, working with the nations of Israel right under Christ, as other scriptures show us. An awesome time, an interesting time, a dramatic time, the time of the resurrection. And David will rise from the dead and be put over modern Israel. Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Eternal, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Yes, the land of captivity, that's where we will have been. Jacob shall return, have rest and be quiet, and no one will make him afraid. Yes, finally, our peoples will come back from slavery. He says a little later, he says, verse 14, all your lovers, our national allies, have forgotten you. They don't seek you, for I've wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities. That's why God is going to do this. Our crime rate has just skyrocketed in the last 30 years. We're having a little quiescent time now where it's still awful, absolutely awful, but it's not growing as fast as it was. But it's going to start up again as this new generation of kids come on in. They say that the juvenile population is going to explode around 2004, 2006. That's not very long, is it? That's just another few years from now. And that wave of these Generation Y kids are coming in, and they're even having more exposure to television, more exposure to these rotten, perverted games on the computers and all this kind of thing. And it's affecting their minds. It's going to affect our nations more than perhaps many of us understand. So God says then, verse 14, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your wound is incurable. Because of the multitude of your sins, because your sins have increased, he repeats, I have done these things to you. That's why God will spank us. We're getting worse and worse. Our divorce rate's going to go up. More people living together without benefit of marriage. More perversion, more rottenness in every phase and facet of our society. And the great God is finally going to intervene. When? Well, he says back here in verse 24, the fierce anger of the Eternal will not return until he's done it, until he's performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, yes, the latter days, you will consider it. The great God shows when this is going to be. Not way back when, but in the latter days, just before and leading up to the second coming of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to bring a huge, awesome punishment, the great tribulation of the Bible, on Israel and upon Judah, both parts of the ancient house of Israel. And we in America, Canada, Britain, the British descended peoples are the lost 10 tribes of Israel, as this booklet brings out and proves very clearly that I've advertised and will tell you about again. Notice now the story goes right on. At the same time, the latter days, he just got through saying, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, all the families, Israel and Judah, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Eternal, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Yes, they're going to have mercy finally when they're in punishment. Israel, when I went to give him rest. And notice now what happens. Let's turn to verse 7. Thus says the Eternal, sing with gladness for Jacob, that's our people, shout for joy among the chief of the nations, and proclaim, give praise and say, O Eternal, save your people, the remnant of Israel, the people that are still alive in this coming tribulation. Behold, I will bring them from the north country. Always in the Bible is figuring from the point of view of Jerusalem. So north of Jerusalem would be up in the Soviet Union, it would be in Europe, and those areas of the world, and gather them from the ends of the earth. Frankly, they'll be scattered all over this earth at that time. Among them shall be the blind, and the woman with child, and the lame, and the one who labors with child together, and a great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. They're finally going to repent and come back to God. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, in which they shall not stumble. For I am the father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Not Judah, Ephraim was one of the 10 tribes of Israel, you see. Not Judah, so Ephraim he's talking about here. Judah and the 10 tribes will come back again. And they'll come, of course, finally seeking God with all their heart, and God will have mercy upon them. And then he says here in verse 27, behold, the days are coming that I will sow the house of Israel, notice, and the house of Judah, both parts of Israel, with the seed of man and beast. And he says in verse 31, behold, the days are coming that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, but this is the covenant that I will make. Notice what God says here. This is Jeremiah 31, verse 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law, God's law, the Ten Commandments, in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my peoples. God will put the Ten Commandments right in our minds and hearts, and we will learn to live that way of life. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. They won't have to go around trying to tell people there is a God. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Eternal, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. Then God, my friends, will bless America. We sing God bless America. He will bless America. He will bless Canada and Britain when we learn to obey His laws and walk in His ways. You need to study this book, the Bible, and understand it. Study it as never before to understand God's purpose and be able to know and do His will. My friends, be sure to write immediately for this important, powerful new booklet that we've just published, What's Ahead for America and Britain. This book will give you the key that unlocks your understanding to 90% of end-time prophecy. It gives specific proof of our national identity and exactly what God says our future will be. Yet this booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. Call or write today. Request your free copy of What's Ahead for America and Britain. Even the phone call is free.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
And be sure to tune in each week at this same time to the Tomorrow's World program. Richard Ames and I will open your eyes to the powerful prophecies of your Bible, and we will show you how to be successful and how to meet life's challenges in the crucial years ahead. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.